shot.
Welcome everybody to Tree Ward Podcast, and we are going live via YouTube right now. If we don't have any viewers right now, but that's okay. We've been gone for a little bit, but just like normal, we always come back, and we always have a lot to say when we come back. So of course we've got myself, Ronnie, and then we got Adam and Jesse. They're both here, so. Guys, I have to admit, even though pre-production was a little rough just now,
because you made it rough.
Oh, shut up! You don't stop what? Talking.
What's a podcast?
Well, it's a podcast. But it's I've missed being on here. So let's make a promise. Let's not go that long again.
Oh, I could do. Yeah, you know how long is it? How many shows have you had this year? Two?
15.
Two.
Oh, come on. 15. It's like, whatever. It's been 15. I need to 15. Catch up.
No. That is how many Jesse has had this week.
I tell you what, you're a
Mr. Podcast. You're a Mr. Podcast. Like Mr. Cartoon, man.
Listen, Mr. Cartoon. That gives him a run for his money is the one and only Mark Radulich himself.
Yeah.
We want to say that we are very glad that he's feeling better and he is home. And Mark, we're glad you're back, and by God, you're a maniac because you're stronger than ever on the scheduling.
Okay, we recorded Monday, we recorded Tuesday, Wednesday, and then I dropped out Thursday. He recorded another one, and then he recorded the Ultimate Warrior one last night. He went five podcasts in a row.
Dude can't be stopped.
I know. He gets out of the hospital and it's like, hey, that's my second wind. And then for a man who couldn't hardly breathe, he's got enough wind to go now.
Oh man, I'm telling you, dude. So Mark, we're really glad you're back, and apparently stronger than ever.
Yeah, no kidding. Steroids.
And the other thing we want to mention that he's we'll call him a friend of the show, and he's on several shows himself. He was a member of the Figure Forecast for a long time. He's a part of the Super Wrestle Show, and now he is on apparently the Throwdown Lowdown. The Throwdown Lowdown podcast. The one and only Magnum CK. he is
the new XWE champion, apparently, XWE from what I saw. I mean, just crowned. We are talking like had to have been 5-10 minutes ago, because I was the first one to like that photograph. Unbelievable.
That's incredible. So we want to throw just congratulate him. So that's awesome. He is very, 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 very worthy of that. And we congratulate him on that. So
he could do a promo. That man can do a promo.
I'm telling you what, when, his first match back, when, you know, Chris Khan, lucky number 13 or what, he always had 13 on that and on his tights and everything else. His comeback promos were some of the best I've heard in a long time. And I watch a lot of pro wrestling. I've watched ECW, WCW, still watch WWE. I've seen a lot of indies and stuff. Some of his stuff was some of the best I've seen in a long time. And then he threw this swerve and he joined the Mega Plowers. with Jock Sanson.
One half of the Mega Plowers.
One half of the Mega Plowers.
I don't think I have seen a promo that him and Jock have turned out where I was like, that wasn't funny.
No, yeah.
It is all the time hilarious, and I live for Chris Khan going, tell him, Jock!
Oh, yeah, tell him about it, Jocko! And then Jock Sampson comes out of nowhere and just and slays too.
Oh yeah.
So and they are an incredible tag team in their own right. They've won gold and they've been around. They've wreaked some havoc and Remix Pro. And recently I was at just their last show, Remix's last show. And I got to see them go against Marion Fontaine and the one and only D'Von Dudley. Great match. It was they definitely drew some heat. And for those people that are like, what, drew some heat? They got a lot of boos when they came into – which is – they're bad guys. So, but they just incredible tag team. And Chris – congratulations, man. That's it's just phenomenal. So
well deserved.
So with that, I think we're pretty much caught up. Adam, what have you been doing with yourself, man?
Working a lot, and I'm getting caught up on Rick and Morty, like I was telling Jesse about.
Jesse, you're a Rick and Morty fan.
Woo, man, am I ever. Gosh, yeah. If we could get – if Calandris was on here too, he would echo the same sentiments. It's it is a – that cartoon is as – it's funny, but it is also very smart.
Yeah, you have to read between the lines of a lot. Like I do anyway. I don't know about anybody else, but I do.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite episode of season one? I know you said you just finished season one, so – do you have a favorite that you can remember off the top of your head?
Not right off the top of my head, no. There are a couple of moments that I thought were really funny, like, and it's stupid little tiny things. Like you're sitting there watching it, and like the one I just finished was the very last episode of season one, and they're having this gigantic party at Morty's parents' house, and Morty's parents go away to this Titanic reenactment.
Oh Lord.
And it's not like the Titanic, it's like the Titanic the movie reenactment. So like Morty's dad, who is played by Chris Parnell, who is freaking hilarious. Like he is absolutely perfect in role. He's Jack, and his wife doesn't want to be a part of this. She just wants to like sit in her room, read a book, and drink margaritas. So she gets the maid, whose real name is Rose. And they start acting out these different parts. And he's like, is that what I think it is? And they've got like a whole bunch of different, the door at the end of
Oh yeah, where they're hanging like, onto the door.
Like, yeah, like they have like a big pile of those, so like the people can get out in the ocean. But like, yeah. They're sitting there, and the captain, and I mean, they're treating this like it's the Titanic, and the Titanic is supposed to hit this fake iceberg. And as they're going, they're just like, "Sir, we're not going to hit it." And he was like, "What?" He's like, "Sound the alarms," you know. And as they go, he's like, "They're like, steer into it, do whatever you need to do." And all of a sudden, like he tries to cut it real sharp, and they miss it by like 50 feet. And as they go by, people are like, oh.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's things like that that to me are just as hilarious, you know? It's like, why would you want to do this whole Titanic reenactment thing, you know? It's like, and they kind of touted as, no, this ship is going down. This ship is sinking. Whether you like it or not, the Titanic is going down. It is unsinkable.
Oh, my goodness. Go ahead, Ronnie.
I was going to say, due to Loot Crate, I am actually the proud owner of a Rick and Morty t-shirt.
Oh, nice.
Which I wear, I've worn quite often.
Have you gotten comments?
Super. Yeah. I mean, like, people are like, oh, Rick and Morty. And I have to tell them, while I've seen clips, I've never seen the show.
Wow.
I like a full episode because it's on Hulu.
Yep.
I don't have Hulu. I have Netflix. And, it's just one of those things where like, I want to sit down and watch it. I just haven't got to sit down and watch it yet.
No.
Because I went looking for it on Netflix before I realized it was on Hulu, and I put in Rick and Morty and, things like Bob's Burgers, Family Guy, Futurama, Archer, all that came up.
Of which are a conglomeration of this show, by the way.
But they all borrow off of each other. I mean, it was birthed from The Simpsons, in my opinion. But American Dad, which is yeah, American Dad is just pretty much Family Guy. And my favorite, one of my favorites ever, Red versus Blue, Rooster Teeth. I mean, the Red versus Blue is just hysterical. Are y'all familiar?
I've seen, that's probably one. Blue? Yeah. That's probably one I've seen clips of. I've got them on
DVD.
It's so like dry and you could watch 3 hours of it and then you realize, gosh, I've wasted a lot of time. It's so funny.
Was it filmed like by, because it looks like straight up video game footage to me.
Okay. Let me tell you how they did this.
Yes, please.
So on a computer, you can use console commands to do things like move the camera around where you want to do. So, mm-hmm. or where you want it to be. So what they'll do is they will, and it's what it is. It's video game footage, but what it is they've used console commands to move the camera around and they're just kind of directing it with their mouse. And as they're doing that, they're talking with the voiceovers and things like that. I think later on, they got into actually animating it, but at least the first season, that's what they did. They just kind of voiced over, different with different voices in different scenes of Halo.
Okay. There, because I've always, when I've seen it, I've always been like that. I mean, it's just them putting words to the video game, and that's, anybody could do that. How Rooster Teeth is a website, right? Or is Rooster, that a,
I'm not sure. Yes, it is. Yes, yeah. It is.
Okay. Because I remember hearing them.
They're a production company, you know.
Oh, okay.
So they've done all kinds of crazy stuff, but mostly videos. But some of the stuff I can't really repeat. but I mean, they're most famous, in my opinion. The most famous stuff has been Red versus Blue.
Yeah.
But it's just. Gosh, it's so funny, but Rick and Morty. I mean the things that I've been shown by you guys and been told and Clanders has shared some stuff with me. Josh Clanders has shared quite a few clips with me, and I've really rolled laughing at. But I've yet to really sit down.
So much classic stuff in that first season. Yeah. The Meeseeks. When he unleashes like these, I don't know what they are. They're just these things that they're there to serve. They're almost, they're not like robots or anything. They're just these things that are created and they can continue to create more things to do this one task. But what they end up doing is they continue to just keep creating more and more and more. And all they're there is to please and do whatever you ask them to do. But then, I mean, it really gets messed up. Really bad. And then when they do the alternate alternative world or alternative dimension cable.
I was going to say, this is right up your alley, dude.
I know, dude. Rick creates a cable box that's able to watch channels in different realities.
Favorite episode. Yes, good call.
Gazorp Bazorp Field, which was like this take on Garfield, but it was it.
But you got to understand what Gazorp Bazorp is. Gazorp Bazorp is from like the second episode.
Yeah, Ronnie, word. You need to. Yes,
I need to get down. Yeah,
you need to get into it.
Like I'm still amazed by Red versus Blue. Going back to that real quick because it's got 14 seasons.
Wow, is it still going?
Yeah, it's still going, man.
You know what's cool about Red versus Blue?
That they have 14 seasons?
Well, yeah, but they were about 2.5 years before YouTube ever existed, so they were able to get put on the map on the internet without the help of YouTube. Yeah. So once YouTube came around, you know, I'm sure they probably have a channel. I've never watched it if they do, but yeah, I think that's kind of cool. It's like they were one of the first, you know, like those – animation type, you know those animation things that people will put up on YouTube just because they think it's funny, you know. Then they get like 10 million hits.
They did
it without all of that stuff, which is pretty cool.
This is, I mean, you know, I may get in trouble for this, but there are a few sites on YouTube. I mean, there are a few channels on YouTube that I absolutely I think are well deserved, you know, because they put out original content like that and different things. But there are certain I won't name any names, but there are certain channels. One guy in particular who's been actually the center of some controversy, not as of late, but he's always the center of controversy. He just takes other people's stuff and puts his name on it.
Were you talking about this?
Yeah.
To me?
Yeah. I'll talk to you.
This? Okay. All right. Yeah. I had no idea something like this existed. But that
you don't know
that's
who that
crap.
Guy is? Have you ever seen?
Yeah.
I
know who it is, but, you know, I don't want to get any.
Don't want to give him any free press.
Don't want to give any free press, and I don't want to, in case for some reason it gets back to him that we're talking about this person. I don't want that name to be brought up, but
gotcha. Gee, I wonder who it is.
Let's just say it flows. But this guy for a long time was taking other people's original content, putting headers or banners on it, and putting a watermark with the name of his channel on it, and putting out as his content. And getting millions of hits, hundreds of thousands of hits, and making hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars a year off of this.
Millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. So, it's really good to see people putting out original content on YouTube. But anyway, man, we went down the rabbit hole there, Alice.
How'd that pre-production meeting go?
Right out the window. But, yeah, it all started with Rick and Morty. And Rick and Morty, I need to see that.
Best rabbit hole ever.
Yeah, so we'll go on that with that. Well, because I already warned people, this is definitely a potpourri hodgepodge episode, because we got some things that we want to talk about and just different things. Just a little bit of ketchup, a little bit of mustard.
Oh, condiment joke. King.
Yeah. Condiment King.
Actual
what
character
is
by
happening?
Way.
Yes, it is. Not unlike Baron Von Turd.
Oh, not unlike Baron Von Turd. Get Josh Calandrus on the phone right now.
I know Josh Calandrus. So we've done some shout outs. We've caught up a little bit. We've talked a little bit, but we've got a lot of stuff that we need to catch up on, you know, and one of them being video games, man. There's a lot of good stuff coming out this year and a lot of stuff that has already come out, the month before in January and we're halfway, if not, we're more than halfway through February now. And some stuff that has come out and some stuff that is coming out. So, Adam, we have a list of a bunch of stuff that is out, has already been out, as far as video games. And we just want to, you know, talk a little bit about that real quick. And So we want to give credit where credit is due on this. And we got a list of stuff coming out from GameRant.com. So we want to thank them for throwing a list out there on the internet so we can see, you know, all the good stuff that's coming up. But we're not going to hit all of it. Don't worry, because
it's a very long
list, because I myself will probably never play the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Mega Battle.
You mean you're not a fan of Cup Critters?
Or Arena Hero, which is on PC. But this is stuff that
Galactic Junk League.
Yeah. This is stuff that's on PS4, Xbox One, and 3DS, some handhelds, and PC. But mostly the two main consoles, or three main consoles, I should say, and PC. But we've got a few things that have come out. Gravity Rush 2. Have y'all played Gravity Rush before?
I have not.
Okay.
I bet you're going to describe it, and I'm going to be like, I've heard of this.
But I've seen the movie. Isn't that a movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
No, that's just Rush.
it's the one with the girl from the net.
Sandra Bullock?
Yeah, that's just Gravity.
That's just Gravity. but I've never played Gravity Rush, so we'll just skip over Gravity Rush 2, because apparently it's the sequel to Gravity Rush.
Well, tell me what it is, though, because I swear that it sounds familiar.
Brother, you got me.
Yeah, there's a review on Game Rant on it. I'm gonna look at it.
I thought you played it and was one of like.
No, I do not own a PlayStation or a Vita or a 4, but Gravity Rush 2 apparently is bigger and better than its predecessor. But frustrating stealth sections and a wonky camera keep it from taking the series to the next level.
So you said it keeps it from taking it to the next level. That's unfortunate.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on here. I'm looking at I'm looking at a picture right now, and this girl looks like she's standing on the side of a building. That building it's Inception. I swear.
Yeah.
Inception meets Mirror's Edge, probably.
That's insane.
All right. You know, and that's and it's not something you touched on, Ronnie, is nothing will kill a game faster than awful camera angles.
Oh,
just
gosh,
to put that out there.
Kidding.
But anyway.
So let's go to the best selling game.
Shall we talk over each other?
Yeah, I know, right? we're going to the best selling game of January. We're going to Resident Evil 7. So
I made a joke earlier about how I didn't play some of these games. Now, I've not played any of the new ones, but, man, I can tell you some stuff about playing some of the franchises these things are coming from.
Yeah.
Dude, Resident Evil 7 is awesome.
Now, do you own the full game or do you own, like, the, like...
Demo?
Did you buy the game or did you play the demo?
No, I haven't bought the game. Not yet, anyway, but that's actually next on my list to get.
Okay.
But Resident Evil 7, if you don't know what it is... Resident Evil 7 goes back to its horror roots. So you've seen all the crazy turns that Resident Evil has taken, like 1 through, I think there's like, what, 8? I think it's Resident Evil 8, I think. And, you know, they've had some crazy
wait things. A second, wait.
Think how 7 just came out?
7 just came out, and there's
8
games?
Oh, wait a minute. I'm letting something out of the bag. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
What is happening
right
now?
I didn't want to spoil it. I didn't want to spoil anything for you guys, but there's an 8th one coming out.
Too late.
So, dude, I'm just trying to save myself here.
I think you're making stuff up. But I assume 7 or 8's going to come after 7. At some point, it will get made.
Resident Evil 6. So they've done some crazy stuff, but Resident Evil 7 does something really cool, and I'm a huge fan of these, like, escape from the room type. Like, you know what I'm talking about? It's like you get locked in this room, and then you have to figure out a way and solve puzzles to get out of the room. Then you go to the next level, and you do the same thing. Like, I could do that, like, level after level after level. But in the demo...
In
this house, and it's the creepiest house in the entire world. And you've got to figure out how to get out of this house. And there's just really scary things. And the whole demo, you see the entire house through the view of just like a flashlight, and you don't have any weapons. You can't do anything. Like, well, in the game you have weapons, but anyway, in the demo you don't have any weapons. Like, the only thing you can do is like put your hands up and block something just because you're scared. You know, that's not all you can do. I mean, it's pretty stupid, but. But you have to figure out a way to get out of this house. But there are little tiny things that are just downright scary. So, like, for instance, you go up in this attic and you're looking around these drawers, and you've got to like put a fuse into a fuse box to lower these stairs and stuff. But you go up in this attic and it's just filled with just random stuff. Like, there's a bunch of mannequins over in one corner, a bag of trash, there's a couch over. And as you walk in, you pass all this stuff, and you turn around, and one of the mannequins has moved and is standing right behind you. So when you turn around, there's a mannequin right behind you, what was that?
I'm not a big fan of that.
Well, like, it's just, I mean, you can like push it down the stairs and stuff like that, because they do stuff like that the jump factor, I guess, the spooky factor is really, really high in this game. Like, you'll be going down these stairs, you'll be going through a room, and there'll be like this little like child staring through the window at you, and like you'll just catch it as you go by, and you're like, what in the world was that? And you go back and it's not there. Like, you know it was there, but you're just like, what? So the game like plays with your emotions, I guess, more than anything.
There has been such, I'm way late saying this, but there's been such an uptick in horror games in the last few years. And I don't know if it's, I mean, shoot, we're on Resident Evil 7, so I know that's not, not eight, nothing new. Not
8, by the way.
Well, maybe next year. But but there's been such an uptick in these scary games because I think, do you guys remember the demo for the Resident, not the Resident Evil, the Silent Hill game that never came out?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
And I can remember that was all the rage. And it seems like, man, the way that they, the people are, the way these developers are pumping out games now, they're just coming up with new ways to really scare the crap out of you. And yeah. I would assume Resident Evil was one of the premier games. Well, I can remember when it first came out, playing it on the PlayStation. Yeah. And being, you know, turn the lights out, turn the TV up. We didn't have headphones back then that I could actually call worth a crap, but you know, it was still scary, dude. I can remember playing that with my, you know, my girlfriend who became my wife. She was in the same room and was like glued to the TV. What's going to happen next? Oh crap! Here comes this thing through the window.
But it took you by such surprise because it's never been done before. So, like, you remember how, like, you're playing as – I think you're playing as Jill in the first one where you go through that door. You're in the banquet room. You go through the door, and you kind of walk down and go around the corner, and you see, like, this thing over your teammate, and it looks up, and it's got the equivalent of blood, but it's really just – you know, it looks like they just kind of, you know, smeared some paint on their face.
Yeah.
And
that's about
yeah.
It.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, what? And then it comes after you, and you're like, wait a second. You know, and you're just like, what just happened to me? You know, scary. I remember being me in the dark. That was the first time that I was like, okay, I'm gonna start turning the brightness up on all these games because man, this is scaring the crap out of me.
Yeah, I'll do that anyway.
I ain't scared. I'll do it.
Let's move on real quick. Hitman, the complete first season. Now, Hitman, the Hitman series, and that's out on. Of course, Resident Evil is out on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Hitman, that is a it's a game series that I followed and not followed really, really, really close, but I followed it pretty well. And it's one of those things that it's a stealth based game. Now, Jesse and Adam, are you all real? You know, are you all familiar with the Hitman series?
Yes.
Yes, I love
those games.
Never played it, but I know it's bald guy going
yeah,
around.
Yeah, Agent 47. Yeah,
there you go.
So you had the last one I played. I can't remember the name of it, but you had certain, you know, situations that you can you don't just have to use his pistols. You know, his silenced 45s. Yeah, you can actually use the environment around you. You can sabotage the grill that somebody's cooking on. You can put a bunch of, you know, like knock one of the supports out on the shelf and have, you know, something fall down on them and crush them. And so there's different ways you can do it. And it's really you can be inventive and you have multiple ways that you can continue, you know, you complete your hits. So Hitman, this is something that I really want to I would like to play. I just have not gotten around to it yet. It's not high up on the list. Hitman, you know, is out on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. So if there's anybody that's listening right now, and if you would like to let us know if you played Hitman or whatever, let us know what's going on with it. Just please, please, please do let us know and see if it's worth the money. The next one up is, it's really funny that I was going to skip this, but I'm not going to now. Just because of the funny conversation that ensued. Conan Exiles on PC.
What's that noise?
Okay, it's a helicopter.
Helicopter? Is that a helicopter, Buff? You can't hit me. Let me put it this way. Air assassinations are completely out of this game.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It is alrighty. It's a newly launched MMO. Where male full frontal nudity runs abundantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's already gotten some into some controversy about how brutal it is.
Today's day and age, we're talking too brutal.
Yeah. Well, and also the players start off naked.
That's kind of what we were getting at. You have to build up your armor, which is really just a loincloth more than anything.
Go pick up a stick and just kind of put it between your butt crack and hey, it's armor. I got a plus one in armor.
Oh man.
Man.
We have tanked. This has gone way
we're off the
way
rails.
South.
Way yeah. Past.
I'm almost scared to Google Conan the Game.
No, don't.
No, you can Google. You can already, Google
here we go.
For, yeah, it's going to be not safe for work videos.
Conan Google. Exiles.
Just don't do an image search.
Brutal, huh?
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Well, we got, you know, Mortal Kombat, and we're going to be talking about too brutal. Come on.
Well, that leads right into our next game. Which is For Honor, which is a game that I'm playing actually at the not this minute, but it's in the Xbox right now. How brutal is too brutal? I mean, to be more brutal in For Honor, you really have to be. You got to amp it up, man, because For Honor. Okay, let me break down For Honor real quick.
Yes,
For
please. Honor came I out have no on, idea what it is.
It came out on February 14th, which was Tuesday. Was a Tuesday, so this game came out. That was,
believe it or not, Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it's, you know, money trap and...
yes, or as married couples like to call it, Tuesday.
Tuesday. Yes. So, For Honor, you have three different factions. You have Samurai, you have Knights, and you have Vikings. And then in these factions, you have different warriors. Like I think three or four different warriors that you can choose from. You can unlock and things like that. So there is definitely a story mode, and there is an online mode as well. So it deals a lot with dueling. So you come up there are, you know, pawns in the game where one swing knocks them down. You know, it kills them, and then you come across stronger characters that you have to duel with or you have to take down, and you can block their attacks because there is no magic. There are no, there's not a lot of arrows in it or anything like that. You do run across some sections in the game where catapults and fire arrows and things like that are used. But it is you and your sword or your axe or,
axe.
Yeah, and my axe.
Oh, that was nice. That was a nice
thanks,
illusion.
Thanks, Gimli.
Toss me.
What?
You know, actually, he was the tallest of all the actors. He was the tallest.
Was he really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He's like 6'5 or 6'6 or something like that.
That's crazy.
That's a large man.
He is a large man. But anyway... So right off the bat, when you start the game, it asks you to join one of the three factions, Samurai, Knights, or Vikings. I chose the Vikings. So online, there's this world map, and you have different types of gameplay, and they have different seasons of who controls more land that you're fighting over on the multiplayer. So one section of the map is like a team deathmatch. One section is like one-on-one duel. And one section is like domination, where you have to take over each, you know, who controls the more points at the end of the round, when everybody, you know, on the team dies, whoever controls the most points, that's who wins the round. And if you keep winning and you keep gaining points and things like that for your team, you gain more loot. So at the end of every round, no matter what game you play, you scout. If you win, you scavenge the battlefield for loot, and you get different blades or different things, you know, armor and stuff like that. And at the end of the week, you get prizes. And at the end of the season, whoever wins gets like mega prizes. And there's going to be a short break between seasons, and then the next one starts back up. So it's a really interesting concept. It's really cool. It can get a little redundant, you know, because you're doing the same moves over and over, but I only have a few characters unlocked, a few different weapons. Like the Viking who has the giant axe, he's a little bit slow, but I unlocked another one, has a sword and shield, and he blocks, you know, a lot. So I've used him. And then you have different, you know, different samurai with a pole, like a, whatever the sword on the pole is called, and a katana, the giant katana. And the other ones, I think, I can't remember what the, what, oh, it's a, just a, it's a big old dude with a big old club. And, and then the Vikings have swords, axes. You could play as a Valkyrie, which has a spear and a sword and a shield. She has a sword, or I mean, she has a spear and a shield. And then I forget, I think the last one is a dual axes. And the knights go, you know, broadsword, a flail, and a couple other things. I can't remember what, you know, I haven't got to them yet. And so it's kind of brutal when you're playing it, but what really gets down to it when you're dueling and you win and you get a clean kill, you have a chance to do an execution. And most of them end up with either a head flying off or, you know, blood spraying everywhere.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'd like to do – I'll probably do a live stream of it here soon just to, you know, get – you know, to show everybody how terrible I am at it. But it's one of those games that I was, wasn't sure about, but I just went ahead and traded a bunch of games in on it and got it because that's how it works. You know, you buy six games and then later on you trade them in for one. But
and they're recent games too. They're not like, yeah, you know, it's like Sonic the Hedgehog you're trading in there.
It's, it, actually there was a couple of, you know, that weren't that recent, but that was still had good trade in value. But the one I did trade in was Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, which kind of hurt because it had no, I'm a Call of Duty fan, but Battlefield, has,
oh man,
strapped a rocket ship on and went straight to the top for me.
Really?
Yeah. Battlefield One is
it's awesome.
Battlefield One is one of the most complete games I've ever played. I love it.
Nice.
Every second of it. I think it's great. Now the cool thing about the latest Call of Duty I traded in is there's three, of course, three different ones. You've got the regular one, the legendary, and the elite or whatever packaging. And the last one comes with like a, I mean, it comes, I don't know what it came with this time. It was apparently pretty lame, but in the past it's come with night vision goggles or a remote control car. I got a drone on one of them before drones were cool. So they usually, you know, the care package or whatever comes, it's kind of cool, but I got the middle one this time around, and because mainly the only reason I got it was because it came with Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare. And the Call of Duty, that hurt trading that one in, because I really like Call of Duty 4, and it was a remastered version of it. So, but anyway, for Honor, if anybody's thinking about it, go for it. Sniper Elite 4, I played Sniper Elite back in the day on the 360. I liked it, but I've never followed through with it. And that came out the same day as For Honor, and it kind of got shattered by For Honor. Now, just recently released yesterday, or the 17th, was Halo Wars 2, which is kind of like a real-time strategy game. It's not Halo, but it's a strategy game. Apparently, Halo Wars was a lot of fun. I'm not a big Halo Wars fan. Next one up is LEGO Worlds.
Let me know. What's this about?
LEGO Worlds. I don't play LEGO games.
Oh, now hold on.
I don't.
We're in the midst of LEGO Dimensions, which really – have you seen any of those, Ronnie?
No.
Dude. Okay. Adam?
LEGO Dimensions?
Yeah, do you remember LEGO Dimensions? I mean, it's been out for a couple years now, I think.
No, I've not.
All right, Skylanders?
Yes, I know. Yes, I know that. Yeah.
Okay. Played, yeah. All right. It's similar, where you create, build up something, and you put it on a plate or something, and it goes into this game world. All right. Is it on my end?
I don't know. But anyway,
All right. We're going to pretend it never happened. So anyway, you put this, you put this on the, you build like, okay, I'm trying to think. Let's do it this way. They have Doctor Who Lego Dimensions. Okay. So you put the Lego, you create the TARDIS or whatever, and you put it on the thing. Shut up. All right.
then you won't like Rick and Morty.
You put it on the thing.
Like Rick and Morty.
That's right. You put it on the thing, and then you play the game, and you play as Doctor Who. Okay. Or, and then you can also get the Back to the Future DeLorean and play as Doc, and the two worlds collide, where you have Doc running around and there's the opportunity for him to jump into the TARDIS. Okay. It brings a bunch of franchises together in the Lego world. So I would assume that Lego worlds, does it have a description there, Ronnie, of what it is?
Minecraft.
Yes. That's what exactly I'm going to say. This is Lego's version of Minecraft.
Okay. Well, this has nothing to do with what I just talked about.
Lego Dimensions, nice. That's pretty cool. I mean, it sounds pretty cool.
Dude, I'm telling you, watch the videos. If you can get a chance, hop on a YouTube, check out some of the commercials.
I'm always on YouTube.
You would watch them on YouTube. I mean, they take franchises. Like here, let me just real quick, Lego Dimensions. I want to read some of these franchises that you can play as. It's very similar to Skylanders. I mean, obviously, Batman. Lord of the Rings. I'm looking at one right now that has Ghostbusters, Sonic, Scooby-Doo. That's a that's a Mogwai. That's freaking Gizmo right there on the back of Scooby-Doo. Nice.
Jurassic Park, Knight Rider.
Dude. Wow. So you create all these things and you play in the game. So anyway, okay. Looks there's E.T. E.T. the extraterrestrial. He's got a flower in his hand.
So Lego Worlds is their version of trying to get into the Minecraft business.
And
Lego Dimensions, the way you describe it, sounds way more interesting.
It's more them getting into the Skylanders business. I'm not sure
what the whole appeal is by building things brick by brick or pixel by pixel. You know what I mean? Like, I know a lot of younger kids are crazy about it. I know. It's like they'll sit and they'll build like, I mean, I've seen them, they will build like scale replicas of like Narnia.
Well, they're, yeah,
brick
there's,
by brick.
They're scale replicas of, have you seen the Starship Enterprise? They've got a Starship Enterprise out there that
you could run through it.
Yep. I will proudly defend Minecraft because I've been playing it a lot. Bought it for my son for Christmas. Played it probably three times as much as he has.
Is it fun?
Minecraft? Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. When they stick you out in survival and you're like, oh crap, what do I got to do? And a new world is generated every single time. So you hop in and you create, it's not like you just start the same world and tomorrow you start over and it's the same world. It generates a brand new world every time. There's new places to go, new sites to be seen. And of course, if somebody comes into your world or vice versa, you can go into their world. You can look and see what they've created. I haven't done that yet, but Caleb, of course, he's more about getting in there and going in creative mode and creating things and just building a house.
Cool. That's really cool.
Yeah. Me, I go into survival and I make it a game where, you know, if you end up dying or falling in a lava pit or something like that, the last 4 hours that it took you to build yourself up and make that iron armor and do all that crap, you just lost it.
Yeah, but that's pretty cool because, like, I mean, if you remember, you know, some of the games that we grew up playing, like Contra, for example, you have three lives. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
You have three lives for the whole game. Yeah. You know? So I mean, we should be used to that. I mean, I'm not, but, you know, we should be used to you die. You're
lose
done.
It.
You know what I mean? You lose it. Right. Right. You know, so I don't know. I'm just – my nephew is really into it, and he gets in – he does that survival mode, and I think he prefers that where you have, like, that fake – or not fake, but you have, like, that little pixelated sword and everything that
you
can run around with. But, I mean – but there's some crazy stuff that you can do in Minecraft where, like, some people make, they make, like you can, you, the environment, from what I understand, the environment like responds to certain things. So if like you make something out of metal,
oh yeah,
and it'll respond like metal.
Yeah. If you create something out of wool and a thunderstorm happens to come by and lightning hits the wool, well, if you just built your house out of wool, your house is on fire.
Right. Exactly.
There's some neat. It doesn't take it to the nth level like some other games. It's pretty basic, but you know, there's stuff on there. I've been playing it. Seriously, dude, I've put at least 20 hours into the game. Me and my wife were playing it and going, you know, we were exploring this map. It took us forever just to figure out how to craft a map so we could actually see, okay, well, yeah, we've been there and we've been there. You got to craft all this stuff. You start out with nothing and you're punching trees to get the wood.
Okay.
I mean, it was really neat, and it's especially fun when you can sit down with my wife. I don't know how much gaming you do with your wife, Adam.
None. Absolutely none.
My wife has very little patience for some of the other stuff that I play. You know, me and her are not battling at Madden anytime soon or ever in the past. But when Minecraft hit, she loved it. As a matter of fact, I can remember coming down here to work and she would send me a message. When you're on break, come up here and turn on the PS3. I want to start building. So she would spend like, you know, most of the day up there creating something, just having a good old time and making something out of nothing.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, it's a fun game.
My point in making what I just said was there are players that go in there. Like I read an article one time where this guy goes in and he created a working hard drive. So basically in the game he can store like 1K of data, which is not a lot. But if you were to teach the game to build itself and just replicate itself, you're getting into like Terminator types.
Yeah, that's AI stuff. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, like that game is not just like this little build up pixel by pixel thing. Like it's nuts.
I don't see the
appeal in it. But people make things like King's Landing from Game of Thrones, or like a space shuttle, or something, you know, just crazy stuff that you would never even think of. But you know, somebody like people will go in, they'll make like scale models of their bedroom. You know?
Yeah, the PC version is way more advanced than the PS3 version. I can tell you that much. I mean, but you know, Caleb started one today, and he's like, "Dad, look at this! I don't know what world I'm in, but check this out." And I walk in there, and it's just like you're talking about. It's somebody's room. He's going like walking around, like looking through the tabletop. So I think it was a replica. They either came with the game, or if he ended up in somebody else's world that actually created all this. But it was really, really detailed. And then the skins. Like you can do a skin on PS3 and play, you can play as Fallout 3 characters.
Oh, cool.
So what happens is when you start the game up, you're like in the middle of a Fallout 3 world and you're walking around. There's Nuka-Cola machines. It's all very blocky and basic. But what I thought was very interesting, and I didn't realize that they could do this. I assume they strike some kind of a license agreement with whatever the other company is that they're creating the skin. The freaking Fallout music starts hitting. Like, you know, the beginning music of Fallout 3, which is, I think, I Don't Want to Catch the World on Fire. That started playing in the Minecraft game.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it was impressive because I was sitting there looking at Caleb like, dude, you have no idea what's going on here right now because this is pretty awesome. But anyway, Lego Worlds.
Wow.
Onward. Okay. Onward.
So onward. Let's go. Where did I go? So Lego Worlds coming up. Another good one to talk about would be that's coming out is The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. That's coming out on Wii U and the
Switch.
Nintendo Switch. It's on Wii U and Switch.
Switch!
Yeah.
So it's... Zelda producer taught storytelling in an open world game.
Hmm.
So
it's an open world Zelda game. Okay. Yeah. That's cool. Okay. Like, I mean, I feel like they're all kind of open world, to be honest.
The last good one was Ocarina of Time. So, you know,
did you ever play Mask of Majaro?
No.
Did you play that? That was insane. Like Jesse was just talking about, like, your time. But it's like a 24-hour, 48-hour period, and it's in-game. So if, like, you don't beat the game within that 24-hour period, you go back to the very beginning and you lose everything.
Yeah.
And it's nuts. It's crazy. Majora's Mask or Mask of Majora, some whatever that is.
Majora's Mask.
Yeah. Yeah. I played it and got frustrated and I was like, never playing this again.
I played Ocarina of Time. I can remember when I first bought my 64, Ocarina of Time came with it because I bought it second hand. And the only game this dude had with it was Ocarina of Time. Mm-hmm. And I was on a very strict, like, seriously, dude, I just got married, so it was like 99. And I was like, man, I had to convince my wife that I could buy this thing secondhand and turn around and sell Ocarina of Time in order to recoup some of the cost because we were such a tight budget. Yeah, so I bought it and then I kept Ocarina of Time for like maybe a week. And then I turned around and sold it secondhand as well, made some of the money back. But I can remember watching my buddy play through and beat the game. And I haven't played anything since, dude, nothing on the Wii.
Yeah.
Nothing, you know, and I've never played a Wii U in my life, so I don't even know if they have one there. But
okay, next up is Ghost Recon Wildlands. Now I'm really interested in this because it's another open world game, Ghost Recon, and it's a special forces unit called the Ghosts, and they're actually the game highlights different situations in different parts of South America. I have to go back and look at my notes here real quick, but in the different seasons. So different. Of course, you've got summer, spring, winter, fall, whatever. That's what I took from it. Yeah, the difference. You know, they'll be going through deserts, swamps, forests, jungles, villages, lost villages, I should say, icy mountain ranges, things like that, and it's South America. And the cool thing about it is Ubisoft trained with an elite team in Bolivia for this game.
Wow.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, so very, very, very cool. And you know, it's one of those things, like, I'm a big fan of, like, military games and things like, you know, not just shoot 'em up, but just, you know, I like things that are realistic as well. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I hope so. Next one I want to talk about is for the PSVR, Rift, and Vive, and that is Star Trek Bridge Crew. So it is a virtual reality game that puts you on the bridge of the Enterprise.
Enterprise. Mm-hmm. It looks.
It looks like a typical VR game.
Yeah, and it reminds me of No Man's Land. Do you remember that game? Like, did you hear about that game that came out? It's supposed to be like the largest game. You have all these different combinations of planets. I think that's kind of like what this is. You just kind of go from planet to planet and use it specifically for VR, so you can, you know, you can give your crew directions.
Yeah,
you know? If I'm not mistaken, it has some of the characters from past series, like LeVar Burton, I think, was in it. I remember reading something with LeVar Burton and, you know, as Geordi LaForge in the game as well. So I don't know, it looks cool. I mean, Star Trek games to me are either hit and miss. You know, it's either really good or it's just really boring, because I mean, you really, if you think about it,
I'm picking on Star Trek, but most of the time they're really boring to me.
Right. Oh, whatever.
Exactly.
I'm serious. Now, I mean, now, it's like, it's,
yeah, there used to be a game like this that came out in the early 90s. I want to say maybe late 80s, like 89, 90. And you were a captain on the Starship Enterprise, and you basically went from planet to planet. But it was a lot. You remember Carmen San Diego when you had to go from like one place to another and follow clues, yeah. And if you got the clues wrong, it was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, it's terrible.
It's the same kind of stuff in this Star Trek game where if like you went to a planet that didn't really have anything on it, people would be like, "Who are you? What are you doing here? Please leave." And then you have to get back in your. I'm serious. Like it was so boring because you hit planet after planet after planet after planet, and then eventually you get to one that
it's
was like,
it's like them way of saying, "Hey, everything's off rails," but really in reality, it's all on rails. It could be as open world as you want, but if you're not going to the right place at the right time,
that's how this game was. Now, I feel like this game probably is a more of an open world type concept because you know, I don't think they would. I don't know why they wouldn't. Well, they wouldn't do that. But
Well, you're right. There are some hit and miss stuff with Star Trek games. So
Star Trek is hit or miss with me. It really, honestly is.
So, but it's also a virtual reality game. So how good could it actually be? The next one up is the one I'm really interested in, super interested in. I'll probably trade in a ton of games or I have to have this one, March
20th.
You gotta have it. I'm with you. I agree.
It's Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yes.
Tell me about it. Yes. Tell me about it.
Okay. Are you familiar with the first three Mass Effect games?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I played through the first three Mass Effect games. Well, I played through 2 and 3 three times.
Wow.
Yeah, and got a different ending each time. I played through one, but it was so vastly different.
Yeah,
from the other two that I couldn't bring myself to play through it again. But that not saying that it's not a good game. It is a good game.
Didn't you get them mixed up though? Like you went 2 and 3, then 1.
I'm getting.
Was that you?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
So I walked into GameStop, and I know some of the guys in there. So I'm just looking. For something different. They were like, well, here's a used copy of Mass Effect. It's like $20, Mass Effect 3. And I was like looking at it. I said, okay, I've never played, 1 and 2. And they're like, you don't have to. So I put it in and I played through it just a little bit. And I loved it so much.
You're like, I gotta get the other one.
First. Yeah, I went back that day.
Yeah, nice.
And I said, you have 1 and 2? And they said, yes. And they were $20 for both of them. I said, hand
deal.
Them over.
You deal. Know?
And so I went home and I popped out 3 because if you play through 1 and 2, you can continue keep your character on. Yeah.
That's right.
And I put in 1 and it was kind of painful to get through because it was nothing like 3 as far as the gameplay. I still liked it. Still liked the story. Put in 2. Absolutely love 2. Put in 3. Absolutely love 3. I go back and I play 2 and 3. I do believe it's Sean Comer that goes through and plays him. Once a year. Yeah.
He even has the N7 jacket.
Yes, he does. He's very wears that very faithfully. So Mass Effect Andromeda is new characters, new villains, new weapons, new skills. But
man,
it's continuing
Shepard.
Yeah, continuing on with the mythos of Mass Effect.
Nice.
So you're still going to have the same alien races and things like that. That are in it, same kind of gameplay, but it's going to be a different game altogether, which is great.
I want to tell you a funny story.
Go for it.
All right, it'll be real quick. We can move on.
Oh, you're fine.
This is a when we first started playing. When I had the Xbox 360 upstairs, okay, Caleb's like 3 years old. This will pop up in my time hop, and I always usually share it. But anyway, Caleb's like, he wants to play games. You know, you give him a taste of it, and then it's, I want to play a game, So, yeah. And then it's like he wants to play every game I have ever owned in my entire life for like at least 10 minutes, and then move on to the next one. Well, he puts in Mass Effect, okay? Mass Effect 1, and the first thing you're doing is you're making your way, and they keep telling you that you have to make it to this – there's this goal that you've got to try and get. All right? Now, Caleb comes up to me, and he's like, dude. He goes – he doesn't say dude. He's like, dad.
Sorry. I was going to say, man, that's awesome.
He's like, dad, I can't find the bacon. I said, bacon? What are you talking about? He says, I cannot get to the bacon. I'm looking for the bacon. I'm sitting there, I'm going, what? This is not mentioned.
I got it too.
Yeah. The Promethean beacon that they're trying to reach. I was like, anyway, I shared that on Facebook, and
incredible.
Yeah, it comes up every once in a while, well, every once a year, and I just laugh. Can't find the bacon. Where's the bacon at? Dad, I've been looking all over for this bacon. I can't find it.
That is hilarious. I'm not going to lie.
That's incredible.
That's good stuff. I played through one all the way, and I was absolutely I was waylaid at how good that game was. I loved it. It was not like anything I'd ever played.
Yeah.
You play a lot of games, so I could understand you were probably like, what is this?
No. It was just because I played the other two first.
Yes. And then.
Oh, yeah, because the other two are so much better than the first one.
Well, I played three first.
I made it halfway through the second one. I can't find the time to get in there, get back in and finish it.
It's soul-suckingly long, but it's worth it, you know.
Yeah, it's a great franchise.
I played three on, was it on, I think it was on 360. I think, did it come out 360? Because I remember playing it. And I traded it in, like, almost directly. Because I remember I had my 360. I got Mass Effect 3. I wanted to trade everything in for my Xbox One, but I was like, I got to beat Mass Effect 3 first before I trade everything in, because I'm not going to be able to afford anything else once I buy this $400 Xbox One.
Yeah.
So,
well, I traded in my Xbox One not too long ago, and I still, I even though, or not Xbox One, but my 360.
I was going to say, what? Wait.
I traded in my 360 not too long ago, but I kept all my Mass Effect games for 360, just in case, you know, one day I may want to buy a 360 for like $50 and just play through them again.
They also might be backwards compatible at some point too. Can just pop that disc in there and play it.
So that, and I kept Skyrim as well.
Love that game. Still haven't beat it.
Even though I own the special edition on Xbox One now. So,
actually beat the game either. So you just kind of complete the storyline, and then you can do whatever you want, and you still
play
the game actually.
And I mean, there's still you know, you could level up even if you beat the game. Mm-hmm. But so, Mass Effect Andromeda is just absolutely incredible. So, or it's going to be incredible, because the first three Mass Effect games were just mind blowingly good. And then we can go on, name some others, but I just want to, real quick, name some that are coming out, later on in the year. Injustice 2. Injustice was great. It was basically Mortal Kombat of the DC world.
Yes.
Crackdown 3, Destiny 2. I'm not a Destiny fan, and I'll probably get some flack for that, but I mainly don't like it, because I didn't have anybody to play with when I played it. And it was just pointless. It was pointless for me. Friday the 13th, the game, which
Caleb has watched so many YouTube videos on that game.
I know, and that's
so many. I know it's bad. I failed to mention that. You know, my daughter, my 12-year-old daughter, 11-year-old daughter just watched all of season 1 and season 2 of Rick and Morty, by the way.
Nice.
within 2 days.
Nice.
That's called bad parenting.
No, that's
I excel.
So we got Friday the 13th, the game, which is that survival game, because you can't fight back against Jason Voorhees. God of War, Gran Turismo Sport, Gwent, which is the Witcher card game. So in The Witcher, I played The Witcher 3, The Wild Hunt, which was just an incredible game. But you can go around, just like another, you know, certain video games, you can play card games, you can gamble. And Gwent was such a hit that they made a whole different, you know, a whole game just based on that card game, which was just a side mission or what, you know, just a random thing you could do in The Witcher. Now, The Witcher is a kind of a sandbox game as well, in the same vein as like Skyrim and a few others, where you do side missions, main missions, things like that.
swords, magic. That's what, you know, that's what was, that's what The Witcher was. Witcher 3 was actually quite graphic in some areas, so you have to be careful in some of the choices you make. So we'll just leave it at that. Well, I'll throw this in there. The romance options, you got to be careful. But so yeah,
it's like
that sounds
was it Dragon Quest? Was it Dragon Quest that had some stuff on there? And if you weren't careful, it's like all of a sudden you had this guy that'll follow you around. You're just like, crap, I got a boyfriend now, man.
Well, it's not even it's not even that. You just you don't want to be like it's pretty okay. We'll just throw it out there. We're all adults. It's pretty graphic sex scenes, you know. So you're like, oh hey, you know what's going on? Yeah. Speaking of graphic sex scenes, you also have God of War. You know, Metal Gear Survive, Outlast 2 is coming out this year, which,
count me out of that one.
Adam and I played a little bit of Outlast, and streamed it, and, I got called a pansy, which I don't care. I will stand by that. That game is terrifying. Red Dead Redemption 2, which I played the heck out of Red Dead Redemption. Yes. Red Dead Redemption was really cool because online, you could just form a gang or a posse and just go wreak havoc on people. One of the funniest things I remember was a group of us got together and we were bored because we had already done most of the tasks, or, you know, we just didn't want to go do whatever. And there was about four or five of us and we had horses. So there was a sand dune and we were jumping our horses off the sand dune. So I said, wait. And I stood next to the sand dune, and I was watching my friends jump over top of my head with their horses. And, you know, of course, you know, it's an old West game, so you got six shooters, rifles, and shotguns. And I had a couple six, you know, I had six shooter and a shotgun, double barrel. And then this one of our friends, Seth, decides he's going to jump over me again. So he jumped over me, and in midair, I shot his horse with the double barrel. And it he flew off of it, and it was one of the greatest gaming moments of my life, because it was just like he was soaring through the air majestically, and I was just like boom, and his horse went flying, he went tumbling, and it was really funny. So Red Dead Redemption 2, really really looking forward to that one. State of Decay 2, which I'm so looking forward to, because State of Decay was another open world zombie survival game, where you had to go to different factions, you know, different camps, and build up their defenses and stuff, like, you know, against the zombies, and rescue people and talk them into joining you, or, you know, fighting against them. So it was kind of like The Walking Dead in a video game. And if the dead, you know, you start off at a church and you find out that there are just way too many zombies around, so you have to move, you have to find a different camp and build it up and move everybody there. So it was really intricate, and it kind of frustrated me, because your character, you start off as a certain character. If he dies, he dies. He's done. You don't go back and build him back. You know, the stats on that character is done.
That's right.
You move on to a different character in the game.
I think you mentioned this to me. You asked me to get it, and I think I failed.
Probably. But I'm not saying you failed. I said I probably mentioned to ask you to get it.
No, you told me to get it, and I said, oh, this looks cool. And I think we moved on to something else after that. Maybe Fallout 4, I think. We moved
from incredible. I love Fallout. But anyway, State of Decay 2, Tekken 7, South Park, The Fractured, Butthole, Butthole.
I love those games, man, for that reason right there, because they make you say things like that.
I don't even want to talk about it. And then the last one, which I'm looking forward to, is Star Wars Battlefront 2, because Battlefront was a great game, but was lacking in some areas. And one of those areas being, it was only multiplayer. There was no single player campaign, which they have corrected this time around.
Nice.
Yeah. So those are the look. That's just a look at the video games that are coming up. What, you know, I basically gave what I'm looking forward to. I'm sure. Is there any ones that kind of stick out to you guys that you want to go, that you would kind of want to play?
Well, I think that for myself, I wouldn't mind giving Conan Exiles a shot.
Of course.
Well, I mean, the thing about that one, yo, that one weirdo. Actually, that one actually does look. If you look at the gameplay, it does look kind of cool because you start out, like, you know, you make your character and all that stuff, but you start out, you literally have to like crush rocks and get smaller rocks from it and make your own arrows and make your own like stone axes. Like, you're a caveman. You are a literal caveman at the beginning of this game. So you have to go through and you have to work your way up and build all this stuff. So, I mean, this game is intended to be a lot of work. So if you're like me, sometimes I just want to sit down and shoot something. I don't want to think about, okay, what am I going to do tonight to get my character, you know, built up on this and that. You know, Skyrim did a lot of that kind of stuff, but it was also really good where you could literally just go into a cave and loot the cave and be done. Mm-hmm. You know? But I think this game was designed to put a lot of time, a lot of thought, and a lot of effort into it because you literally start out with nothing. Like, it's like your hands, and you have to fight like saber-toothed tigers and all kinds of weird creatures that they have, you know. But, you know, you're Conan, you know. Well, you're not Conan; you're one of his tribes or whatever. But it does look cool. Like, I would probably, like, once it hits like, you know, the $20 thing, I may snag it.
May grab it
and then trade it. Yeah.
Helicopters all over the place.
Oh Lord! Anyway. <all right. laughs> a couple of things.
Finishing move.
Real quick. Oh, no!
I'm sorry. It's late.
Moving on. There's a couple of things that we missed. We didn't really miss one thing, but we did miss one huge thing. And we call ourselves fans, but we haven't talked about it yet. And that was we're doing a, you know, a 180. We're switching gears. Buckle up because we're going down a different road here. Movies. And the big movie that came out that we did not talk about that we should have talked about was Star Wars. Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. So this was a movie that I had been looking forward to for some time since it had been announced. Because what they did when they decided to do 7, 8, and 9, of the movies. We've got The Force Awakens, and the new one is called The Last Jedi. And then we don't, of course, know what 9 is going to be called. Not yet. But so they've decided that they took all these books and all these different, you know, all this different part of the Star Wars universe that people, you know, maybe it was canon, maybe it wasn't canon. We don't know. And they kind of said it's part of the universe, but it's not canon. And they started telling their own stories, starting off with Rogue One. So Rogue One is the story of how they actually got for Episode 4, A New Hope, is a story of actually how they got the Death Star plans. Because a lot of people didn't notice, but, you know, now that you think about it, how in the world did they get those plans? You know, how did they know where to exactly shoot? And why was there why the crap was there an open exhaust port? And that was the only thing that it could take down
straight to the core.
Right. It went straight to the core. And why, you know, that's the only weakness on this moon-sized battle death station. And, a farm boy from Tatooine shoots a couple of torpedoes down and kills millions of people on this moon-sized, you know, Death Star, or small, you know, smaller moon. So
that's new.
That's a space station.
Anyway, wow. So it tells the story of the team of people that went on and got the, you know, sent the plans for the Death Star to Princess Leia and the rebellion. So it's one of those things where, like, the main thing that I want to talk about is I got so frustrated with people who were dogging this movie because they're like, where are the Jedi? Where's Luke? Where's Han? Where's Chewie? You know, this is not a Star Wars movie. This is stupid.
It's a Star Wars story. It is a story that is based off of the Star Wars universe. And it's one of those things like you hear the legends of the Jedi. At this time, there were no Jedi. There was only two Jedi, and they were in hiding. That was Yoda and Obi-Wan. And they were in hiding because they were the last two. Everybody else was dead. So, of course, there's not going to be. And then you have, what was his character's name? I can't believe Donnie Yen. Donnie Yen's character, who favored the teachings of the Jedi, you know, this old Jedi temple. I couldn't say his name anyway because it's one of those Star Wars names. Chirrut Imwe, but he favored the teachings, you know, the Force, and he's like, he trusted in the Force, believed in the Force, and everything, and everybody thought he was crazy, you know. He was leaning on an
fourths of others.
Others be with you, yes. And he actually went to the original screenplay, which we did on your show, the source material. Source material. The Star Wars was what the original 74 rough draft screenplay, and boy was it rough. Instead of "May the Force be with you," it was "May the Force of others, be with you."
Yeah,
and he actually said that in the movie. May the Force of others be with you.
That's awesome. I thought that was so crazy because we discussed it like 3 or 4 days before the show before the movie release. Yeah, before the movie released, and then we actually picked on that phrase because it was always "May the Force be with you," and then we had him sitting there saying that over. He said it like 3 or 4 times. I was like, "Holy crap!"
When he said it, I was like, "No, why would you do this?" But it was. It was really cool to see that and a kind of a throwback to the original, you know, the original screenplay. Mm-hmm. And it was such a good movie. I don't care what anybody says. It was one of those things that it was different, but it felt the same.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Completely different characters, completely different movie. But it felt so familiar.
So many podcasts that I listened to reviewed this, shortly after it came out. And it's one of the big criticisms was about how it was really dark. But it's a freaking, it's a suicide mission.
Right.
I mean, these guys, I think we know that these people were not going to make it out. And when I sat there and watched the movie, there was the Force, but it wasn't certainly prevalent all over this movie at all. It was not, you know, the typical staples that you saw in a Star Wars film were not in here, other than, of course, you had stormtroopers, you had the rebels, you had the Empire, mm-hmm. but you didn't see lightsabers,
no,
all over the place. You did not see, you know, you didn't see the Force being used. Although it was neat to see Donnie Yen's character.
Oh, just break bad on everybody.
Yeah, you know, he was Force. I don't know if you'd call that Force sensitive. Force
sensitive, yeah,
yeah, and.
He's one of those guys that would have made a really kick butt Jedi if he.
Oh yes! Oh my gosh! That was probably one of my favorite parts of the movie was when he let loose.
Yeah.
And he just walks out in the middle, and you're like, he's going to get shot. He's going to get shot, and people that watch him, just like Han Solo, you know, most likely believed a lot of the Force crap. The Force was just a bunch of a bullpucky. And it was all luck. It's all luck. And that's what you're thinking with this guy when he walks out and he's about to, you know, there's just a hail of I almost called it phaser fire. Yeah. Come at me.
Wrong movie. Wrong movie.
What are they called?
Terrible.
Lasers or whatever.
Blasters.
Blasters. Okay. Yeah, a whole bunch of blaster fire. And you know, all of a sudden you start thinking, oh, this is the Force. Here we go. Yeah. And so it was a neat little nod, and it wasn't overly used, which was pretty cool,
right?
Because you had, I mean, I don't know if you're going to do a breakdown of the characters here or what, but
I mean, other shows have done it, and you know, it's not, it's kind of late in the game with, for that. We know what happened, and we don't want to spend too much time on it. We just want to say, hey, yeah, we realize it was out there, and we are Star Wars fans. My main frustration with everybody was the fact that they were just, you know, dogging on it because it, you know, there was no Han or Chewie or lightsabers or anything like that. You know, get over it because it's a Star Wars story.
It's still canon. It's still canon.
Yeah.
You know, now it probably wouldn't have been.
If you were a true Star Wars fan, then you realize that there are, you know, at that point in time, being a Jedi was, you know, it was dangerous. You know, you couldn't be a Jedi at that point because of Order 66. You know, that was a terrible.
What did you say?
Palpatine. Order 66.
Order 66.
Where they killed all the Jedi.
Sure.
Okay.
Right. Well, anyway, that went over like a fart in church. It was one of those things where you got to realize that there were no Jedi at that time, so you're not going to see Jedi. And Han Solo hadn't even been introduced as a character at that point in time. So it's a completely different movie, but in the same, you know, same universe, same storyline, same all that. So suicide mission, they all go. They go looking for the Death Star plans. They make the Empire think that a group of what 20 people is a whole battalion of rebel soldiers, and it's just a really cool. It's a war story.
Yeah,
I mean it's a futuristic or in a galaxy far, far away. You know, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, Saving Private Ryan. Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's about what I could, you know, really compare it to, because it's very sad. I mean, but it's so good. And one of my favorite actors of all time plays the smart alecky droid in it, K2SO, and that was Alan Tudyk.
Mm-hmm.
And he did phenomenal. Oh, yeah. Forrest Whitaker is in it. And Felicity Jones, who has been in a few other, you know, The Theory of Everything, Amazing Spider-Man, Inferno. So she played, she actually played Jyn Erso, which was the main character. Jimmy Smits actually made a quick cameo as Bail Organa. I've heard it both ways, but Anthony Daniels actually came back as C-3PO. James Earl Jones did the voice of Darth Vader, who was also in this movie. Darth Vader was actually there.
Oh man!
And they took.
Did Adam? Did you say you have not seen this movie?
He has not.
I couldn't remember. Yeah. Darth Vader. Just remember that. Oh my gosh.
Oh, at the end.
At the end, dude. Oh, it is.
Goes off.
It is in. It's probably one of my favorite parts of the whole movie. I mean, we sit here and talk about how there wasn't a whole lot of lightsabers.
Well, I mean, when he goes in and he's holding that one, he's fighting off all these rebel soldiers, and he's holding one up against the ceiling with the Force.
Yes.
And then he drops him behind him, and as he's falling, he flips his lightsaber and just cuts him down in the middle of, you know, in midair. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. You know,
one of the things that they said, one of the things that I remember hearing is that Darth Vader in the prequels was made to be, well, clearly we grew up to watch and see how Darth Vader became who he was. Which almost kind of, I would say, sweetened the villainous side of what Darth Vader really was supposed to be. And that was this maniacal killing machine when he had to be.
Mm-hmm.
This movie showed you how Darth Vader could be a villain again at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
when he comes out there and he, when he does what he does, you're just like, okay, I'm scared. It kind of whitewashed that a little, you know, it kind of washed that away with the prequels a little bit, because it wasn't as, you know, Darth Vader wasn't as imposing. Thing is that he's definitely not a main character in this movie. I mean,
yeah,
he's his story. They just show you what leads up right to what, like 2 or 3 minutes right before the beginning of.
It goes right into episode four. It leads straight into episode four. I mean, it's crazy. And then the computer generated characters. Peter Cushing, who's been dead for 20 years, and it looks like he's standing right there with everybody.
There he is.
Yeah, and then they took Carrie Fisher and made her young again. And Warwick Davis is actually in this. As well, but Warwick Davis has been in so many of these crazy. It's crazy how many Star Wars movies he's been in.
And you don't even realize it,
right? So, Wicket, yeah, he was Wicket. He was the Rodian child in Phantom Menace. He's been in, like, I think he's been in all of them since Return of the Jedi. So, which is, he's this incredible, you know, incredible. To think about. So, Rogue One is just a phenomenal movie, and if you're a Star Wars fan, you'd see where they're going and what they did with it. And then one more thing before we go, I have to say that I saw John Wick Chapter 2.
Ooh, man, what'd you think?
I didn't know that.
John Wick Chapter 2 is a fascinating movie. Because it dives deeper into, like, John Wick, the first movie started off as just a really cool revenge story.
Uh-huh.
You know, John Wick, of course, is played by Keanu Reeves. You find out that his wife, of a very short time, has passed away of cancer. And shortly after she died, she arranged for a puppy to be delivered to him so he wouldn't have to go through this alone. So, you know, he needed something to love and something to love him. So he got him this cute little, you know, just adorable little puppy, and they absolutely loved him, you could tell. And he has this amazing 69 Mustang. So he's driving this Mustang. The bratty rich kid of a Russian gangster wants his vehicle, and he tells him it's not for sale, and he tells him in Russian. So they go to John Wick's house. They beat him up. They kill his dog.
They kill the mistake. Puppy.
They take his car. And it's only then they find out that John Wick was actually a very feared hitman who worked for different mafia, you know, for the Russian mob. And he was just an assassin that they called, as the Russian mobster said, this is who you call to kill the boogeyman. You know, and he's just like, they said he killed 3 men with a pencil. With a pencil.
Yeah.
So it goes into this whole thing where it's a revenge story. He decimates everybody, you know, and I watched it, and I watched, you know, I'm one of those weird, I love firearms. I always have, and I'm not weird. It's not like a psychotic love of firearms, but I've always liked guns. You know, I go target shooting. I used to hunt.
Things like that. Bed.
I sleep with 2 pistols under my pillow. No, I'm kidding. I don't do that.
You have one in the shower stall.
You know,
one in the umbrella thing right by the door.
I actually have a booby trap with a sawed-off shotgun on my back door.
Oh,
geez. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, I own rifles, I own pistols, things like that. And it's just, you know, I play a game called Airsoft, which takes realistic looking guns that shoot BBs. And, you know, you go through different, you know, gameplay and stuff like that. So anyway, sometimes I can't help it, but I count rounds that are being shot out of the magazines on people's pistols, you know, on, you know, movies.
You're fact checking.
Right. But it doesn't bother me as much as it does some, because John McClane can shoot 47 bullets out of one magazine. And I'm just like, oh, it's John McClane. Yeah, you know, but I watched John Wick, and you know, he was using a Glock 23, which is a 16 round magazine, I think.
Sure.
And at 9 or 10, he would drop the magazine and he'd put a fresh one in so he wouldn't have to rack it again, which is what, you know, which is a, you know, a tactic in a gun, in a gunfight. You know, you don't wait for the magazine to be spent. You drop it and you put a fresh one in, so you have, you know you've got ammunition. You know, and or if he spent the magazine, it was the exact number of rounds that were supposed to be in the magazine. So I was like, that's really cool, because they kind of made it realistic at that point. So when they announced John Wick Chapter 2, I was like, oh, this is great. I watched some of the training videos that Keanu Reeves went through. And he did some tactical shooting and, you know, of course, jiu-jitsu, judo, and Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And they meshed those three martial arts and the tactical gun training into what they called gun fu, which was, you know, he was martial arts takedowns and stuff like that into the you know, gunfire. But I watched the tactical training that he did with firearms, and the man is insane. Like, okay.
Keanu Reeves, right?
Keanu Reeves. He is like, I am not joking when I'm saying he did live fire, live ammunition training. And he is incredible in these training videos. Now, granted, maybe it was just like certain situations that they were going to have in a movie or whatever. But at this point, I look at Keanu Reeves and I say, if crap hits the fan, I want that guy, like Keanu Reeves, on my side. Because it looks like he knows how to handle a firearm. And in the movie, they take it to the nth level of round count in the magazines and how each gun is fired and all that stuff. And it's incredibly accurate with that. But it also dives deeper into this assassin's world, where, you know, the gold coins and the hotel, the Ambassador Hotel. He actually goes to Italy, where there's an Italian branch of this hotel. And Franco Nero, who played Django back in the day before Django Unchained, was the Italian counterpart of the manager of the hotel. And it was really cool. It was a really funny scene where he's sitting there and they calls him Jonathan. He says, Jonathan, sit down. He goes, I'm so glad to see you. And they're speaking Italian to one another. And he says, as a professional courtesy, please allow me one question. And John Wick goes, of course. And he goes, and he leans into him and he whispers, are you here for the Pope? And because he knew he was there on business, and John Wick leans in and goes, no. And he goes, well, then by all means, enjoy the hotel and all of its amenities, you know, like that. And I was like, that was really funny, you know, because he didn't want him to go after the Pope, of course. But he's like, no, I'm not after the Pope. And he's like, okay, well, you know, game on. You're good to go. So there was some really cool people that popped up, like Franco Nero. Peter Serafinowicz was in it. Who played Peter in Shaun of the Dead, who was in Guardians of the Galaxy, and a few other movies. And then, of course, you had the Matrix reunion between Keanu Reeves, and then you had I'm buying time because I can't –
Lawrence Fishburne?
Lawrence Fishburne. What the heck, Ronnie? But Lawrence Fishburne and Keanu Reeves are reunited on screen since the Matrix movies. And it was a really cool scene. And then Ian McShane, Common is in it. Common did really well. And, of course, John Leguizamo, Bridget Moynihan. It was a really, really well-rounded cast as far as, you know, certain parts. And Peter Stormare actually made an appearance in it. It is one of those movies that it's just
I was so amped after I watched it. I went to a later showing. It's 9:55. I got home around 12:30, somewhere through there. And, you know, it was like, you know, by that time I'm usually ready. You know, I'm hitting the hay. I was up till 3 a.m. because I was just so amped.
You're amped up.
Yeah.
And I can remember watching like, The first one just blew my mind with the martial arts.
Yeah.
And the fight scenes. It was some of the best stuff I had seen in a very long time. I don't watch as many movies as you guys do, but I can tell you right now that I was blown away. And I've seen, I'm looking 5 hours ago, a girl on my timeline here on Facebook, John Wick Chapter 2 is a great movie.
It's incredible. It's meant to be a trilogy. So oh, there's boy. A third one coming out, and it's phenomenal. I mean, it was such a good movie. Because you know, you find out there. Okay, let me put it this way. It's so cool that Ian McShane is talking to John Wick in the middle of New York's Central Park in New York City, and there's just tons of people around. And he walks up to Ian McShane, and they're talking. He goes, "You know, why am I not dead right now? You know, because there's some certain things that went down." He said. So are you, you know, why am I not dead? He said, because Jonathan, I willed it not to be. And he's like, what? And he goes, he gets on his cell phone and goes, show him. And all of a sudden everybody, and we're talking like 100 people that were around, stop, turn and just stare at John Wick.
Whoa.
Everybody in this plaza just stop and turn and stare at him. And Ian McShane just waves his hand in the air, telling them, you know, you're dismissed. And everybody leaves, and it is just those two in the park.
Interesting.
I was like, holy crap. It's just full of super cool moments like that. And the acting is – I mean, I don't care what anybody says. I think Keanu Reeves is a good actor. I'll stand by that. It's just full of, you know, really standout, you know, performances in my opinion. I mean, nothing like award-winning, of course, but it's just when you go to an action movie, you expect a certain cool factor, and it is. This movie is dripping with it. It was just so good.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, all right, guys, I think that'll do it. We were going to talk about The Walking Dead tonight, the mid-season premiere, but I think we're gonna save our Walking Dead talk for the next episode because
that could take half an hour. I'm going to be the Walking Dead.
Take up another hour.
Yeah. Hey, that could take up another whole show. So we're dedicating a whole show to The Walking Dead and the whole Rise Up movement that is in the middle of The Walking Dead. Of course, we want to see Rick and his cohorts rise up against Negan. Now that Daryl is finally home where he belongs in the arms of Rick. No laugh there. I was expecting a laugh, but nobody laughed. So there was a bromance moment.
I missed it on that show.
They hugged like it was a bromance moment, man. They were like so happy to see each other. It's like, it's nothing romantic, but they were just really happy to see each other because
romantic.
Yeah. Daryl has become that, you know, his go-to guy, his right-hand man. You know, that character has really developed over the past 7 years. Mm-hmm. So, gosh, that show's been on 7 years. That's incredible. But, you know, anyway, we'll talk more about The Walking Dead at a later date. So, Jesse, tell me what you got going on in your life right now, man.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jesse Starcher. I run a podcast called Source Material. It's over there on the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network. You can give that a listen sometime if you do so feel like. Give the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network Facebook page a like to stay up on top of all the great podcasts that we have to offer. Source Material also has a Facebook page, so if you'd like to give that a like, I just keep you up to date on interesting posts that are somewhat related to the podcast that I'm doing or editing. Most recently, I'm actually in the process of editing Batman 66 Volume 1, which will air this coming Monday on the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network, where me and Mark discuss the old school Batman, Adam West, Burt Ward. If you If you enjoyed that camp, let me tell you something. The comic book is not much different. Although we have some very interesting new influences in the stories that occur in Batman 66, such as like the first Joker story starts out with the Red Hood. So you didn't see the Red Hood back in the 1966 TV show. So right. Yeah, if you like that, if you dig it, check it out. That's happening this Monday. I know Old Man Logan's going to be happening sometime soon. Also, me and Ronnie have recorded already. It's already in the can. We'll be airing in 2 weeks, and that will be our discussion on Amalgam's Dark Claw, Legends of the Dark Claw. And also, I want to give a shout-out to my boy Dean Compton, who came on and discussed what did we discuss? Now, see, I brought him on, and we talked about – oh, Image First Stormwatch, number one. And again – I get to apologize to Ronnie Adams.
No apologies necessary.
I apologize to Ronnie Adams. I told him I was going to apologize to him on the on this show here. Listen, we talked Stormwatch number one. It was a lot of fun. Brandon Choi and Trevor Scott, I think, is the creators of that particular issue. And so you can give that – just go check out all those great fine podcasts there in the archives. And we're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're on TuneIn Radio. We're also on blogtalkradio.com. And that – I want to thank you guys for having me back on here tonight. I had fun.
Dude, always.
Awesome.
Adam, what's going on, man?
Oh, not too much, Ronnie. Not too much.
This is where you plug stuff.
I know. No, really. There's not much going on. I've been kind of busy, and I don't even know what I've been busy with, to be completely honest, because I haven't really been much on social media the past probably all of February. But in case that you wanted to find me, you can find me at Adam Runyon. I think it's Adam Runyon 1 on Twitter, if that tells you how long I've been away. But other than that, you know, you can find us at screenboy.com. You can run the website and find out what's going on there once we update it. So that's about it.
Cool. Once again, you can find us on any form of social media. Twitter's at Screenboy PR. On Instagram, it's Screenboy Podcast. On Facebook, just look up Screenboy Podcast. We have a Snapchat. I don't know why Snapchat exists. You can find us on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, and the Radulich and Broadcasting Network, which is on blogtalkradio.com, as well as iTunes and Stitcher. We want to thank you for listening. Look us up on YouTube as well, because we're always on YouTube. As we're trying to break it into that as well. Just search Screaming Boy Podcast. So guys, we appreciate you listening. Go on any of these places, click the 5 stars, click the subscribe button. And if you've enjoyed what you've heard, in the words of Jesse Sartre, if you've enjoyed what you've heard, tell a friend, leave us a review, make it pretty, because we don't want to hear no jerks. We don't want to hear, you know, anyway, it's getting late. I'm getting tired. So guys, have a good one. We're out. My hip hop will pop this shot. My hip hop will pop this shot. My hip hop will pop this shot.